Hello and welcome to Jerry 2's Video Game Podcast with me, Joe, and...
me, Min. I'm not going to even attempt to make a name this time because it's too furry-like.
You don't want to accidentally stray into the furry territory.
No, I despise it. So,
if you are new to the podcast, you are very welcome. Please have a look through our back catalogue, see if there's anything there that you've played that you fancy listening to us talk about. This is Jerry 2's Video Game Podcast, as I said. Jerry 2 is the ugly black cat you can see in your thumbnail, and we are his employees, and we play video games, discuss them, chat about them, have a bit of fun with them, and then Jerry 2 gives his judgment on those video games at the end. So really, our opinion is like the fluffer, right? it's Jerry 2's opinion that really matters at the end of the day. We've done quite a few podcasts already. We've also done a movie podcast as well for Maisie. Maisie is his older sister, so if you're interested in video games, movies based on video games, go and check that out as well. Today, however, this podcast, I think, was inevitable because Jerry 2 is, you know, he loves his video games and he's been badgering us about this game since we started doing the podcast. You better review Cat Quest 2, you better review Cat Quest 2. So, Jerry 2, I hope you're happy, you're getting what you wanted, okay? We're going to review Cat Quest 2 and talk about that. So, just to, you know, clarify, Jerry 2 sat right in front of us. We've got an ear each, we're talking directly into his face. He's staring into the distance. So, we're going to talk about Cat Quest 2. So, Min... what is your... I'll tell you what, before we started Cat Quest 2, what was your experience with the series in general?
So I think I played it by myself.
No, Cat Quest 1.
Yeah, initially, yeah. Like the series in general. Cat Quest 1 I played by myself while you kind of watched every
Yeah, I mean, I'd already played it.
You'd already played it, so it didn't really matter too much. And I absolutely loved it. Played it single player as the cat. And then I think... I'm pretty sure we played it on the Switch, correct me.
I had Cat Quest 1 on the Switch. I think I bought it pretty much as it came out, and I played it years ago.
That's probably because Joe didn't really have many... because he bought the Switch day one.
Yeah.
He didn't have very many games to play, aside from...
Zelda
and Bomberman. That were the only two games that were pretty much available. So I think I picked it up during lockdown, played it while you were cooking, loved it, got hooked, and then we bought the second one on PlayStation.
PlayStation 4, yeah.
Now, this one was way more fun because we could both play it together.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was player one and Joe was player two. But really, you know, the first time I was sort of introduced to it was lockdown, March of last year.
Yeah.
And those are the two that I've played, but I didn't really know anything about it before.
Well, as Min said, I had played this game, I played Cat Quest 1 before. Now, we did consider, should we do a Cat Quest 1, should we do Cat Quest 2? But honestly, listeners, right, and I don't mean this to disparage the Gentle Bros, who are the developers of this game, but they are very, very, very similar.
Yeah, very similar.
It'd be very difficult to do two podcasts on this game series because Cat Quest 2 is basically the same game with some added stuff to it.
And I think the second one is better to do a podcast on because we both played it together.
Yeah, and we played it more recently and we really loved it. Cat Quest 1 I thought was good. Cat Quest 2 I thought was far better, as we'll get into. But as I said, they are very, very similar. So Cat Quest 1, it styled itself as a cat, an open world RPG where you play as a cat. I think that's a little bit disingenuous because when I think of open world RPGs, I think of like Skyrim or Fallout or Outer Worlds or something like that, and it's not on that scale, right? You know, it's just not. But it's fun, you know, it's a fun little game, probably takes us about 6 hours to complete. But we both enjoyed it separately, and we thought Cat Quest 2, we were planning on playing it at some point, and then we saw it was co-op, and Min and I, we love a couch co-op game. In fact, there isn't enough couch co-op games.
I think
games
at that time
anymore.
As well, we were playing a lot of like Torchlight and
Diablo,
and then Cat Quest came, and we were like, this is perfect.
Yeah,
this
and
is they perfect.
The perfect, but there aren't enough couch co-op games. In fact, just as a slight tangent, Torchlight 3, we were going to play the other night. We're like, oh, Torchlight 3, that'll be great. No fucking couch co-op. What the hell is that about? Anyway, so we thought it was co-op, so we thought we'd give it a go. Now, the premise of Cat Quest 2 is that there is... turmoil in the kingdom. There's evil kings ruling the kingdom of the cats and also the Lumos Empire, which is the kingdom of the dogs.
Oh, dogs.
Sorry, Jerry 2. Jerry 2, this is a part of the game Jerry 2 doesn't like very much. And like I said, these two evil kings are ruling the kingdom and causing chaos and not treating their subjects very well. When two great kings of the past are resurrected, I assume, in order to gain power and eventually cleanse the land of these two evil kings. So you play as, one person plays as the cat king and one person plays as the dog king. So I played as the dog king and you played as the cat.
And that happened because obviously I was player one to begin with, but also I think the dog was more of a ranged.
Well, actually...
I think we kind of You know what? We made it like that, but it worked out.
Yeah, so what I think is really good about this game, well, actually, I'll get to that in a second. The game, if you start it up, right, you've got kind of like... the game is almost entirely like a Final Fantasy overworld in that you kind of are zoomed out on the map. The map is not that big, but you're sort of zoomed out, and on the map you've got like the place names written on it. So you've got names like, you know, Cat Town and stuff like that, or Port City, but spelled P-A-W-T City. And you can see those names on the map, and the towns are very, very, very small. So you're either walking around in the overworld, fighting enemies and meeting NPCs and things, or you're going into dungeons, which are... You know, I don't want to. I sound like I'm criticizing the game. It's a very small game, but you know, it works very well. They kind of like copy pasted dungeons. You know, they all look very similar, and there's all similar ideas in each one.
Yeah, and they've all got the same sort of mechanics. Like you have to kill all the enemies, find a treasure chest, go into the light, come back out.
But the thing that we really enjoyed about the game at the start was that as a co-op game, anyway. We sort of played a little bit of Diablo 3. We haven't actually finished it yet. We should go back to it at some point. And we didn't finish Torchlight 2 either. But I grew up playing dungeon crawlers. Like one of my favorite games growing up was Diablo, and then Diablo 2. I've put, like, I'm not joking, like an ungodly amount of hours into Diablo 2. Like, it's almost embarrassing. But I also loved like Baldur's Gate: Dark Alliance, which is another one, and Torchlight, the original Torchlight on Steam, I loved as well. So I really like this genre, but it's not a genre that Min has ever really delved into too much.
Not really, no.
I mean, probably...
Not until I met you, really.
Yeah, so... And when we played Diablo 3, we did enjoy it, but I got the feeling that Min was, like, you know, getting to grips with it. And Diablo 3 is probably not the best first game. I'd say that Cat Quest 2, or Cat Quest 1 even, whichever one you want to play, is, like, the ideal introduction to this kind of game, like the dungeon crawler. Because immediately... I think I said this on a previous podcast, but we play games very differently. I am the kind of... When I play games, if I play like a multiplayer game, I'll always be either the healer or I'll be ranged, and I will sit back and try and stay away from the enemy and attack and be very, very cautious. And Min is a psychopath who runs into all problems head first, bangs a head against them, like, yeah, and then cries.
Joe likes to be methodical. In fact, you know what? You are a dirty little rat in game. In fact, you are Osama bin Laden. You will pick an enemy and hide in a mountain and then pop out like a little... slick rat covered in oil.
Yeah, well, that's just how I like to play games. You know, we are very different. Whereas Min, we always joke that, like, I can drive. Okay, I'm a good driver. Min cannot drive, and the reason that I am not encouraging Min to learn how to drive is that whenever she drives in games, if there is a problem, her reaction to it is to scream and put her foot down and just go barreling. Like, so we'll play, like, it's true though, isn't it? We'll play Grand Theft Auto or something, and I'll be like, Min's a police car. She goes, foot down, acceleration, car explodes, game over. Like, why didn't you brake? I panicked.
Well, sometimes, like, especially in like games like Saints Row and Grand Theft Auto, there'll be like a chunkage of people.
A chunkage. And inventing another word there.
There'll be a chunkage of peoples, and
peoples.
You know, I have the urge to, rather than driving on the road. You know what, I have a hard time differentiating road and pavement. That's my problem.
You have a hard time differentiating right from wrong. That's your problem.
Moving on.
Anyway, so Cat Quest 2, one thing that was really cool was you can sort of differentiate how you play the game. So I played the game, I think I used a ranged weapon. So you can build your character. Now, there is very limited options. So you can build your character as like a... you get a basic weaponry, so you've got like a sword or an axe, which is slightly slower, or you can use like a wand, which shoots like magic, like, you know, it shoots like fireballs or whatever. And very quickly we fell into a role of, okay, Min's going to pick up the sword, and she's going to be the one that runs in and distracts all the enemies and hits everyone. So she basically played as a tank, and I was the one at the back who used a wand, hit the enemies with magic, and then used
heal paw,
which is like a spell which you can heal the enemy, and also like buffs, so you can create a shield for your partners and shield you like that, or you can cast like debuffs on the enemy, or like things that slow the enemy. And it was really cool because it's not in any depth whatsoever. Like, anyone who's got like any kind of experience with this genre, you'll see that it's very kind of basic.
Definitely.
Very bare bones. But what it does is it's kind of like, it distills it down to its really simple parts, meaning that someone like Min, who I don't want to patronise you or anything, but isn't too familiar with the genre, can jump in it and immediately sort of get the idea of it.
Not that I struggled with Diablo or anything.
But I'm just saying.
Especially for children, I think
yeah,
it'd be a really good step.
But what I'm saying is, like, it creates that thought process of, you know what, there's another way around, there's another way to play this game than just like having two people barrel in together and just attack and look after themselves. If you work together as a team, you can achieve more.
Definitely. But everything was there, just really watered down, I guess.
Yeah, and it was just really cool how we fell into those routines, and it let you do that. I mean, again, it's not too complicated, but I had my spells. So both characters have spells, and there's like offensive magic and defensive magic and stuff. And in my spell roster, I always had Heal Paul, which was a healing spell, and the shield and debuffs. And Min always had like the fireballs and the thunder and stuff. And it just meant that you could complement each other quite well.
Yeah, because there'd be times where Joe would be like, let me just pick at this enemy as much as I can before you get to it.
Yeah.
Which was possible in the game. And then once I like got to it, half of his health had already gone because you'd used your ranged attacks.
Yeah.
And then I'd like set a trap and he could come over, and it just really worked the way
also,
we were playing.
Also, I was completely like a glass cannon. Like, I had no health whatsoever. Like, the dog's health anyway is less than the cat's health, I think. I think the dog can take fewer hits. So it suited us as well.
Yeah.
Because Min was the tank. Min was in there distracting all the enemies, taking all damage while I sat back and picked at them. And like I say, for a game that, you know, I think any age could play this. I think you could give this to like a 6-year-old.
And I would happily be able to give that to my 10-year-old niece.
And they'd be able to get into it. But I think it's really cool that it would introduce them to the kind of ideas of like a dungeon crawly Diablo style game. So it's top down like Diablo. The game is like very colourful. It looks very nice. Like I say, the overworld is just sort of like green, you know, for the majority of it. But the game has like a loot system, like in Diablo.
Yeah.
Again, very simplified.
Very, very simplified. I mean, it wasn't anywhere near as satisfying, because sometimes you'd get equipment that was nowhere near as good as one that you've already got.
Yeah.
Or just equipment that you really weren't interested in, because you'd get like, I don't know, someone who's using ranged.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be a type of item that really didn't make any sense for you to get, so it was just like eh.
And the way the loot worked, there was only really a select number of items.
Yeah.
And what you would do is every dungeon you'd find like a chest that would normally level up the item you already had. So say you had like the knight sword level 10, you'd get to the end of the dungeon and you'd open it, you get the knight sword level 15, which would do more damage. But often the loot, it's not like when I play Diablo, often what happens is I will just always equip the stronger stuff.
Yeah.
In this game, actually, often it'd be like, well, you know what, I've got a wand here that does more damage, but it also fires slower and it doesn't fire the way that I want it to or something like that. So actually, I'd rather use the weaker wand because it's actually more effective. And you were the same with your...
No, I just went by aesthetics mostly.
Oh, yeah. That's the other problem that Min has in these games. Like, we were playing something recently... Oh, The Witcher. We were playing The Witcher, and Min was like, take those trousers off, I don't like them.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
And I was like, okay, but if I take those trousers off, the other trousers I've got are like, weaker.
It was his boots. I despised his boots. They were disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And yeah, I do like that this game does that thing that you actually can see what the cats are wearing. So and I think there was like a hat that you refused to take off for like half the game because it was cute.
Yeah, I mean, it was like this little light, like it was a fire one.
Yeah.
But it looks like a lion's mane, and he looked so fucking adorable. And also, it did really help differentiate your character from my character because if you wear the same armor or similar looking armor, they can look very, very similar. And I do remember that you mentioning that.
Yeah.
But when I wore my little adorable flame hat, we didn't have that problem because it was like, I'm the little fireball.
To be fair, I'd say that there was a little bit of a problem in the game that we found quite a few times, which was like the amount of times that I think I was you or you think it was
definitely.
Me. Like it's very easy to lose your character, and there'd be times where I'd be like, God, why am I, my button's not working, I'm not attacking, and I'd look and I'd be in the corner of the screen.
And then that's because sometimes there's a lot going on in the screen. So for example, Joe was saying that he did the heal paws, which heal you and buff you, and like the shields.
Yeah.
There was a spell for a shield which kind of cast a bubble around you.
Yeah.
For a short period of time. And obviously he was doing his fireballs to pick up the enemies as well. But then you'd have me who was doing like spike traps, which lays traps on the floor that spikes and they move.
Yeah.
And it takes up like at least 6 squares. And then I'd be doing my fireballs, and I'd also be doing lightning. And then at the same time, you'd have like 4 or 5 monsters also doing their attacks. So it was just like
a mess. It was very visually busy,
wasn't
it?
It was visually busy, but the problem is when I was playing by myself, I knew where I was.
Yeah.
But when we were playing together, if I didn't have like a really garishly different outfit, even when I was wearing the different outfit, it was really difficult
to find
you know, where we were, because it was like there was so much going on and we're all doing so many different things that there'd be times where I'd be like, why am I getting hurt? Oh yeah, shit, that's because that's you and not me.
And the thing is, it is really important to know where your character is, because the way that the enemies attack, almost all the enemies, they will approach you and they will like do an area of effect. So yeah, it will indicate to you before they attack like where they are going to attack. So mm-hmm. like they'll stand in front of you and like a cone of red flashing light will appear, and it's like in 2 seconds they're gonna attack in that direction.
Yeah, so you have to dodge.
Yeah, so roll. The idea is that you could dodge roll, which is, you know, really handy, and yeah, you will spend a lot of the game dodge rolling. Like a lot of the game is spent dodge rolling, because the idea is that you get out of that, you know, the enemy's like corner of attack before they attack you. But if you have lost where your enemy is, you know, it can be really frustrating, and the enemies can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, it is quite unforgiving if you do get caught up, especially if you're flanked by them. But
yeah,
that's another thing. When you're constantly dodge rolling, you really do lose where your character is when you're playing with someone else. So there'd be times where I'd dodge roll out of the way and you were next to me, and then I would think that I was you and vice versa. And, you know, and then it's the same thing for heal pour as well. Joe will obviously naturally get healed himself, but if he wanted to heal me, I had to be within the circle.
Yeah, so heal pour casts like a green circle. That was actually quite annoying, that, because the only healing spell you have in the game is this spell called heal pour, and it casts like a green circle on the floor, and any ally who is in that green circle gets healed. The problem is that the game is all about movement. Like, you are constantly moving. You are never standing still in the combat, because if you stand still, you'll get hit constantly. So you are constantly rolling around and moving, which meant that it was actually quite hard to stand in the green circle enough to get the benefit of it. So I often would have to do that between fights. They'd have to be like, stop, we'll heal up, because trying to heal in fights often was just pointless.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
There was a lot going on, yeah.
Can I just mention as well, the first time I played Cat Quest 1, I didn't get heal port till ages.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have Joel, like, keeping me on track, because I was quite...
Min was like... So the game... Again, sort of typical RPG fare, the game, it has like a leveling system that it's all about seeing your numbers go up. You don't get to allocate points or anything. You can spend money to buy new spells. So you'll spend money to buy new spells and spend money to upgrade them.
Well, we say money, but they're like little orbs that you collect from killing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's basically money, isn't it? And I think you can buy upgrades to your weapons as well.
Yeah.
But you don't have skill points. It's not like you can put points in HP or anything.
No, it's just a little bar.
You just level up and you assume that your attack, defense, magic and HP go up when you level up. But obviously the game does this thing that I really, really like, actually. And I don't like it when people say I'm a little bit OCD, because it's like, you're not OCD, you know what I mean? Like, but liking things to be in a nice, neat order does not make you OCD, methodical. You know? Yeah, I'm methodical. So what happens is, like, say for example in Horizon Zero Dawn, the game recommends what level you should be at to do a quest. The Witcher does the same. It'll say, this level is level 5, this quest is level 5, this quest is level 8, this quest is level 10. And I have to do them in the order. I have to. Mm-hmm. I hate, like, if I've got a level 5 quest and a level 7 quest, I have to do the level 5 one first. I don't know why, I just have to. I hate it. I hate not doing them in order. And this game, every quest, every dungeon, everything has a level, recommended level for it. It'll say, this dungeon is level 50. And I take that as, don't attempt this dungeon until you've done all the dungeons that are low level. Min, on the other hand, when Min was playing Cat Quest 1, I watched her and she was getting her ass kicked. She was getting turned inside out constantly by this fucking dungeon and going, ah, this game's so hard, trying again. I was like, what level is it? She left. It said recommended level 200. And she was like level 15. What the fuck?
I take it as a challenge, right? Okay. I saw it and I was like, I want to defeat it. And then I didn't want to leave until I did it. And to be fair on me, I did do it.
Well, you did one of them eventually. I don't think you did that one at level 15.
No, but I didn't
like 150 levels below the recommended level. You did do one of them.
I think I did it at level 45 or 42.
Yeah. To be fair, you did, yeah. And that's the thing as well. Like, the game is like, it's not so... like, if you play some RPGs, like The Witcher, for example. Mm. We were playing The Witcher the other day. And Min was like, go and do that level 15 quest. And I was like, level 4. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. You're like, oh, go and do it. And I got into a fight with, like, a ruffian. And, you know, just like a random ruffian in the city. And he fucking destroyed me. And it was because... It doesn't make any sense, because it's like The Witcher, you know, the one of the, you know, this amazing soldier just got his shit kicked in by some kind of like scumbag who was trying to steal a wallet, but it's because he was above my recommended level and the game is like, no, you're not meant to be here, come back where you've leveled. Cat Quest, because it is about dodging and you can dodge enemy attacks and you could theoretically get through encounters not taking any damage at all, it is possible to just pick away at an enemy that's much stronger than you, to go in, pick away at them, dart out, avoid damage. I mean, it's not fun to do that, but you did manage to do that.
Listen, you and I are very different when it comes to that. Like Joe said, he's very methodical, he will stick to the levels, but when I see, if I'm level 10 and I see a level 30 dungeon, I'm going in.
Well,
I'm going in, I'm sorry.
It caused some arguments when we were playing Cat Quest 2 together, because she'd be like, oh, we'll go do this dungeon now, and I'd be like, no, man, that's level 50, and we're like level 12. Well, no, let's just try it. But why? Because just try it, see if we can do it, but we won't do it. But why not? Because we're not the right level. Well, let's just see. And
yeah, but I managed.
Yeah, you managed, yeah. Well, that's up to you, okay?
But, yeah, so the first time, it did take me a while to get heal paw. And I didn't really stick to the levels. But in Cat Quest 2, I think I showed a little bit of restraint.
Well, I think I showed restraint and it rubbed off on you. More like...
I could have just barreled in and gone in.
No, you couldn't have done, because it's two player. I wouldn't have gone in with you.
God damn it. But, well, either way.
But yeah, so the game... How the game works in terms of... well, like I said, there is a narrative. Don't get me wrong. There is a narrative. There is a story. But it, I mean, it's really not important.
No.
I mean, the story's there, you know, and, you know... It's like a typical sort of fantasy story. You know, in the first game, you are the you're the Dragonborn, basically.
Yeah.
It's basically like a parody of Skyrim. You are the Dragonborn. In the second game, you're like these two kings that have been resurrected to rescue the kingdom, and you've got to take on the evil kings. And
long story short, you see this evil hooded cat every so often.
Yeah.
But I think what bulks out is you have these little side stories that have nothing to do with the plot.
Yeah, well, what I was about to say very quick before you get into that, it's like, it's the same in Diablo, right? No one plays Diablo for the story. I mean, I quite like Diablo's lore, you know, because I like the whole kind of hell versus heaven and the Nephilim and demons and all that. But you could play Diablo and literally not pay attention to it, and you still have a really good time. And Cat Quest is the same. The story is there. It's okay, but like Min says, it's the side quests are where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it works is like you have to like enter into a quest, and the world state changes when you do that. So you'll go to like an NPC, and you can either do the main quest, which is always that way you're directed, but there are side quests all over the map. And what I really like about them is they sort of unfold over several chapters. So you'll do one of them, and then it'll be like the, you know, that side quest number two, that side quest number three, number four, number five, and they've often got a little cute little narrative inside them. So one of my favourite ones is the Necroporticon, or whatever you call it. The Necromonicon from Lovecraft, but it's called the Necroporticon or something.
Yeah.
And it's like a cat villager trying to summon demons that accidentally turns his entire town into zombies and stuff. And don't get me wrong, it's not like you get amazing cutscenes or anything, but it's just fun little extras. But when you enter into a quest, like I say, the world state changes, so you have to decide that you're in that quest, and you can't do anything else until you either abandon or complete the quest.
Yeah.
So you're either free roaming, or where enemies randomly appear and stuff, or you are like doing that quest.
And it will always have a marker to say, you know, you're doing this side quest, or the main mission is here.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're never really lost.
Yeah, I mean, you're never really lost. And I think the world opens up in a nice kind of neat way. So at the start, you're just walking around the grass area, and then I think you go north into the dog area, which is like a desert, and then eventually you get like the ability to fly.
Yeah, so there are bits that are like sort of tapered off until you do little bits of the main story.
Yeah.
So for example, there's an area that you can't go unless you can fly, and you can only fly once you unlock a certain area. So it is a little bit like restricted.
Yeah.
But not too much.
No, it's like organically
done.
It unveils in a nice pace, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like I say, the game, you probably complete it in about... I think we completed Cat Quest 2 in about 10 hours, but we did platinum it.
Yeah.
Like, we did absolutely everything you can do in the game.
Yeah.
And that took us about 10, 11 hours or something. But if you wanted to just barrel through it, you could do it in like 7, probably. Something like that. But like I say, it opens up at a nice pace. The only problem is, because you technically can take on any dungeon at any point, and if you're skilled enough you can beat it, I think there was a point where very early on we just decided to fly off in a random direction in the map, and we found like an island that turned out to be the island of the developers, the Gentle Bros, who are there in the game, and we had to defeat the developers. And when we did that, we got some loot which pretty much carried us to the end of the game, because we weren't meant to get it yet. It was meant to be something that you get in the end game, but we got it about halfway through. So for the rest of the game, we had this awesome loot that was just like, it meant we could just destroy everything, you know.
But, I mean, I think it's the point of the game, like you said, isn't the story. It's just, it's very free, it's quite organic, it's cute, and it's really fun.
It is. The only thing that I didn't like... Yes. Right, you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
The puns.
Yeah. The fucking puns. So Cat Quest had puns, like, you know, but Cat Quest 2 dialed it up to 11. I mean, yeah, every single sentence, there is either a dog or a cat pun, and they are so forced. So much so that often we'd be like, what?
They're a stretch. So in the first one, it was quite restrained in that...
You'd say perfect.
It'd be like, perfect. It'd be, you know... Porrific.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it'd still be shit, but we were like, yeah, okay, it's a cat game. Makes sense. In the second one, they had cat and dog puns left, right, and centre. And like Joe said, some of them did not make sense. Like,
no.
We were like, what do they mean? What are they on about?
There was one bit where it was like, you need to go to the... And it was like, Porsis. And I was like, Porsis? It was spelled Pawsis. And it was like... What's the Porsis? And I was thinking, stasis? Is it something to do with stasis or something? Turned out it was oasis.
We figured that out, like, what, 4 hours later?
But we figured that out because we were there, and I was like, oh, it's an oasis. Oh, Porsis. Oh.
We were like, oh, that is shit.
That is a fucking stretch, man.
That is bad. I mean, because I don't mind puns that make sense, that make me go, oh. But they make sense. But some of the puns in it, just like Joe said, were proper forced.
Yeah.
Like, really... Unimagined, like, they just didn't make sense. It was just either poor or dog stuff jammed in.
I can't decide if the writers would have had a really good time doing it, or if they're like sat there, red eyes, drinking whiskey, going, oh, how do I get another cat pun out of this? There's only so many different bits of cats I can refer to.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, I think we're referred to as your meow justy.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which is fine, because I know it means... Majesty.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like it. It's fine, but God, if you can, like, maybe Google some and just look at a list of them, because they weren't good. Like, they were honestly bad.
But honestly, a lot of the game is really, really cute. Like, one sort of overriding narrative of the game is that the dogs are at war with the cats. Obviously. And, like, there's a part where you have to forge, like, a legendary sword that will help you defeat, like, the big baddie. And you have to get, like, a dog blacksmith and a dog blacksmith who's obsessed with hot dogs. And look, because he loves the taste of hot dogs, and a cat blacksmith to work together. There's what I really like as well, and this is only a little touch, but it always made me laugh, was that you have like these little cute dogs and cats delivering like Shakespearean dialogue, but with cat puns. But when you click on them, you just get like a ruff, and then it'll say, "Your Majesty, the enemy have arrived over here," or whatever, or
yeah,
and it'll say, you know, "You will never take the Necropodicon." It was very, very... It is a very cute game.
It's very cute. And also, to save the game, you go to these villages where it says rest.
Yeah.
And also, when you save and rest at these villages, it heals you fully, so you do find yourself doing it quite a bit. I didn't mind. I was saving and healing for no reason, because it's so fucking cute. So there's a little animation where the dog and the cat just plop down. They literally just plop down on the spot. Have a little nap, and then fully rejuvenated. But it's so sweet. Like, honestly, I can't... It was so cute.
It was really, really cute.
It was so fucking cute, the way they, like, just plop down like real cats.
Yeah, it is a very cute game. And I'd say that if you have... one thing I have heard, because I'm going to say that right now, listen, this is not going to be a quiz or anything today. I was going to do a quiz. The cats are having a fight. They are demonstrating Cat Quest 2 right now. Maisie is reaching out and batting Jerry on the head. Jerry, you need to avoid the cone of attack. All right, roll away.
Roll,
Jerry. Use healing pole. Right, I'm gonna throw my slipper in their direction. There we go. Got to me, bro. So what I was gonna say was, there's no quiz today, listeners. I apologize for that. I'm sure you're all absolutely heartbroken. I'm sure they'll be wailing in the streets, national tragedy. But normally, I either look at Metacritic and get some like funny user reviews, or I will like look at trivia. This game is quite obscure, right? It is, in fact, very obscure. I didn't realize how obscure it is, actually, because Metacritic, there was only like 5 reviews and they're all overwhelmingly positive. And I tried to look up trivia for the game as well, and there was nothing. But one thing I did see, repeated quite a few times, was that apparently the game is considerably worse if you play it single player. Considerably worse, because apparently your AI partner, if you don't have someone else control him, is an idiot. And just constantly gets killed, and it's really annoying, and constantly has to be revived and shit. Because if someone gets killed, you have to go over and revive them, and it takes like a little period of time to do it. So apparently the game is much worse single player. But certainly co-op, I mean, we love a good couch co-op game. They're a dying art form.
Yeah.
And this was, like, so fun to play two-player.
It was perfect for us.
It was.
And I'm so disappointed.
I'm disappointed in you right now for that pun. Anyway, as I was saying, you could probably get through this in one or two nights with a co-op partner, and I think it would be really... It was really, really fun, wasn't it? Like,
I think we both
enjoyed it, and the Platinum was really fun to get as well. So if you're interested,
it was easy as well.
If you like achievements, the Platinum was reasonable. Yeah, you basically just have to do everything in the game, but it was fun. I mean, even when we completed the game and we were going around mopping up the final few dungeons, they're all fun. I mean, the dungeons can be a little bit frustrating. You've got like spike traps and stuff, and
there were certain enemies that were just a nightmare.
Yeah, and one thing the game does do actually, and Final Fantasy IV did the same thing, which annoyed me in that as well, is that to 100%. And to complete a dungeon, you have to find all the treasure in it. But sometimes you'll go in a dungeon and you'll be like, where the hell is the treasure? And it turns out that it's just off the screen. And you have to float across blackness to get it, because you can fly now. And it's like, oh, it's just off the screen, but you just have to sort of go around the dungeons floating off in random directions, hoping that you find the right way. That can be a bit annoying. I just think it's lazy.
Yeah, and I feel like the dragon bosses weren't brilliant either. They were pretty easy.
Yeah, so you get like these trial bosses in these dungeons that you've got to defeat, and yeah, the bosses often are quite easy because they move very slowly, and their areas of effects are huge, but it gives you plenty of time to move out the way.
Yeah, so, and you know, I found some of the later enemies, just normal enemies, to be more tricky than the actual bosses.
Yeah, because the enemies that actually... You know, you get this in a lot of games like this. The enemies that move faster and hit more often are a lot harder than the enemies that move slower but do more damage, because you can move very fast and dodge. They're quite easy to avoid.
But yeah, just talking about the side quests, they were so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Because the side quests are, like, so ridiculously unimportant. So you'll have, like, a little bulletin board and... You know, it'll be like, oh no, my sister's gone missing. Oh, can you please help me find her? And we're like, this is obviously a trap, the way it's written.
Yeah, they're always so traps.
They're always traps. And, you know, you'd go and help and you'd do something and something would happen and they'd be like, oh, I don't know what happened. And then you'd come back a little later on and there's a second part. My sister's gone missing, ... Again, please help. So you'd help, knowing it's going to be a trap. You know, and then it'll be like, ha, I tricked you. I just want your meat or some shit like that. Or... They're just very endearing and very adorable and very, very funny, minus the terrible puns. But
I think they just used it as an opportunity to tell little jokes and do little fun things, because, again...
Or, like, parody other things as well.
Yeah, so you get, like, you get parodies of other games and stuff. Again, it's not really about, like, the story of them either. It's just about, you know, you're doing it because you want to level up and get new loot.
Yeah.
And because the game's generally fun to play. I mean, the game was fun all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't overstay its welcome, so it was fun from start to finish. So you don't really mind what it is. So the side quests are just an excuse for them to, like, do a little funny joke.
And I like that you could upgrade your spells, like, in various points, because it's not like you can only go to one specific place to do it.
Yeah.
There's like, these mages dotted around on the world map, so you can always go there and you know, upgrade when you've got enough points. And I did like that as well, because it sort of let us focus on certain spells that we used, because we liked some more than others.
Yeah, again, it's some, like, light building of a character. Like, because obviously in something like Diablo or, you know, even in, like, MMOs and stuff, you do this a lot more, where it's all about building, like... I haven't really played Dark Souls, but I've been told that if you build your character wrong in Dark Souls, you can really fuck yourself over. In this game, it's not like that or anything, you know. It's pretty minor, but you can be like, you know what, I'm going to focus. Like, we're going to spend your money on your spells to make you more offensive.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend money on my spells to make us more defensive and solid. And it was just a really cool that you were able to do that, like, saying such a simple little game, really.
But it's adorable, because it's like little cats and dogs trying to be all...
Like, yeah, high fantasy.
Yeah. And, like, setting little traps. And be like, oh, you've been cornered and you're trapped in, like, a little circle.
But often it'll be to, like, because there's, like, someone's lost a ball.
Yeah.
Or, you know, someone wants a hot dog. Something like that, yeah. Very, very cute. And, like I say, so fun to play with a co-op partner. I can't say whether it's fun to play single player. Cat Quest 1 was certainly fun to play single player. Yeah. Wasn't quite as fun, but it was fun to play single player. Cat Quest 2, I have heard, like I say, AI can be bad, but generally I'd say really, really fun.
Oh, I didn't realise it was so obscure, because I do remember before we played it,
yeah,
like, a few years back, I think I sent a picture of it to my sister when I saw it physically, and I was like, oh, this looks cute, but then I just kind of left it, and didn't think of it again. But I just figured that, you know, a lot of people play it.
No, I mean, I didn't know exactly how obscure, but when I looked on for stuff on the internet, there really wasn't much about it. There wasn't even a Wikipedia page for Cat Quest 2. There was a Wikipedia page for Cat Quest 1, but there was none for Cat Quest 2.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, now there is a Cat Quest 3 coming, because when you complete the game, you get like a teaser for Cat Quest 3. So hopefully that'll be really fun, and we'll play that when that comes out. I don't know how they'll expand on it. Maybe they'll do four-player co-op. Who knows? But
it was just perfect for us, because we always appreciate when a cat when a game has cats.
Yeah, we appreciate a game have cats, and we appreciate couch co-op, so it's like the perfect marriage for us, isn't it? Well, before we wrap it up then, because obviously this is a little bit shorter one, but the thing is, it is not that much of a substantial game, but it's really fun, and I think it deserves a little chat. You know, like, it is really, it was genuinely a really entertaining time from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I'd love it if more people would go out there and play it. Like, I don't feel like we've spoiled too much in this podcast or anything like that. I mean,
there really isn't much to it. It's just fun.
But yeah, if you like cats and you like RPGs and like playing co-op stuff, I mean, it's perfect. And it really is. It's I'm sure it's cheap. I see it on sale and stuff. I think we bought it full price, but it is often on sale for like a fiver.
I think you bought the Switch one definitely full price.
Yeah, I bought the Switch one full price, but I think Cat Quest 2, we bought it for about $9.99 British pounds.
Yeah.
And I think I see it on sale for like a fiver, so what, that'd be like $7, $8 or something, or whatever dollars currency you use in your country. And it's definitely recommended. I can guarantee you will have a fun time. You know, it's not going to break, it's not going to, you know, you'd be your 10 out of 10 favourite game ever or anything like that, but you will enjoy it. It's very methodical, very satisfying. And as I said, if you can partner up with someone, a buddy,
it's very cute.
You're bound to have a good time, and it's very cute as well.
And make sure you sleep a lot in the villages.
And
make sure you wear a fur hat.
Well, Jerry too has been very excited to have his say on this game, because this is his MVP.
Yeah.
This is his golden goose, all right? I think this might be his favourite game we've ever played together. So, we've heard what you think. We've heard what I think. Jerry too, what is your opinion on Cat Quest 2? I don't think I've ever seen Jerry 2 so buzzing.
No, he's so enthusiastic.
He is so enthusiastic, and I definitely think he's been inspired by this game, because I don't know if you've noticed, I mean, just today while we've been doing the podcast, actually, Jerry 2 and Maisie have been fighting a lot. Jerry 2's been rolling, batting, rolling away, batting her, running away like that. Maisie's been laying traps for him, and he's been springing them and then rolling away from her and stuff, you know, dodging her. Maisie moves quite slowly. She's like a dragon in the game. She has like a corner attack. You know, she sort of lifts the port very slowly, sleepily, and sort of bats at him slowly. Jerry dodges away, bats her in the face, runs off.
And I think we have to appreciate that this is a game from his childhood.
You know, we didn't mention that. When we played this game for the first time, it was probably, what, like 6 months ago now.
Yeah.
And Jerry 2 was a wee baby. Like, it was, we had to, like, let Maisie go outside and then sit with Jerry 2 on our lap, because we couldn't have them in the room at the same time together at that point. So he was sat on our lap as, like, an eight-week-old kitten watching us play this game. So he's got a lot of nostalgia for it. I mean, we recently did The Bouncer, so you can go back and listen to that if you like shit. If you like listening to a dumpster fire. Well, no, to be fair, the podcast wasn't a dumpster fire, but the game is.
Yeah.
But I was looking up, I hashtagged The Bouncer on Twitter, and was looking at people, and people were saying, oh, this game, I remember this game from my childhood, it's so nostalgic, oh, it's great, you know, and all that. Don't know how. But I think Jerry 2's got a similar thing with this game, where this game is actually good, to be fair, but he's probably going to be like, when he's 3 years old, talking to the other cats.
Back in the days.
Talking to the other cats in the town about how much he enjoyed Cat Quest 2 when he was a little kid, and, you know, it's quite cute. Anyway, got anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No, it's just that it's very, very cute, and it's porrific. It's almost perfect. You know what?
Just listen, if you listen carefully, Min, right now, you can hear one of the cats scraping in the litter. I think that's what they think of your pun right now. One of the cats is taking a dump right now, and it literally started after you dealt with that pun. I think you've upset the stomachs.
It was majestic. Meowgestic.
You need to furk off. Get it? Fur. Alright, we'll go now. Thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this podcast and you fancy listening to any of the others, have a look back through your feed, and we've covered quite a lot of games. We've covered Metro 2033, the Yakuza 0, My Friend Pedro, FF8, lots of other games. We recently did God Hand and the Bouncer, Spec Ops. We've also done a movie podcast as well for Maisie's Movies, where we talked about the movie Street Fighter, the movie from 1994, and talked about Balrog's hair quite a lot. and not much else, go and give that a listen. If you want to contact the show and either recommend us play something or give us some feedback or whatever you want to do, please get in touch at jerry2podcast@outlook.com. You can follow us at Twitter at failedlets, or just search for Jerry2Podcast, for Jerry2's Video Game Podcast on there. You can DM me if you've got any feedback on there, or you can also
go on Jerry's new Instagram,
which is
Jerry2Podcast,
at Jerry2Podcast.
Do you know
every
what?
Time I have to correct
leave
you.
Jerry alone, he's finding his feet, he's finding his paws, he's new to this.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't understand the world of social media.
He wants to be an influencer. Influencer. You know what? We've become the thing that we despised.
Yeah. But yeah, he does have an Instagram. So if you want to see photos from his childhood.
Yeah. You want to see Jerry 2 living his best life. You know.
You love that.
Yeah.
You know, he might post a picture every now and then where he's not feeling cute.
But he's going to post it anyway.
Yeah. So keep an eye out. And then... yeah.
Also, maybe Maisie will appear on there at some point as well. Maisie, actually, to be fair, Jerry 2 is an ugly cat. Maisie is beautiful.
Maisie is actually very beautiful.
She's a beautiful cat, so she might show off on there as well at some point. Other than that, I think that's everything. Thank you for listening, and happy bowels.